And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Wednesday, April the 10th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 10, 1912, the British liner RMS Titanic set sail for Southampton from Southampton, England. It was bound for New York. We all know that it did not make it. That was an ill-fated maiden voyage. Today, in 1932, German President Paul von Hindenburg, he was reelected in a runoff. The runoff was with a guy named Adolf Hitler. Hitler came in second in that election. Today, in 1947, team president Branch Rickey called Jackie Robinson up to the Brooklyn Dodgers. He called him up from their minor league affiliate, the Montreal Royals. Less than a week later, Robinson would become the first black player in Major League Baseball when he took the field for the Dodgers. Today, in 1972, the United States and the Soviet Union joined about 70 nations in signing an agreement banning biological warfare. Today, in 1998, Northern Ireland peace talks concluded. Negotiators said they had reached a landmark settlement to end 30 years of bitter rivalries and bloody attacks. Today, in 2017, Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch took his place as the newest addition on the bench of the Supreme Court. He has proven to be a true constitutional conservative. Today in 2019, scientists released the first image ever made of a black hole. It was kind of a fiery donut-shaped object in a galaxy. They said it was 53 million light years from Earth. You know, one of the common comments that I heard as I watched the news coverage of the eclipse on Monday, one of the things that I heard people say again and again, just spontaneously, and I know some of them were Christians. I mean, they just had to be, but perhaps not all of them were. But I heard this in many reports, and interestingly enough, the media allowed them to say it. I mean, it was on, they put it on the air, which was a blessing to me that they would even bother to do it. But people would say, they'd say, how did you feel, you know, when everything got dark, the ones that were in that totality path, how did you feel when it got dark? And so many people said it made me feel like there was something or someone bigger than me and bigger than us or bigger than our situation. I heard that many times, and it was refreshing to me because there are moments in life when whatever we believe, we're faced with the truth. And the truth is that there is something or someone bigger than all of us. And it's a someone who created something that is bigger than all of us because he is bigger than all of us. I was reading this morning earlier in Psalms, just personally, I came across a verse that I know I've preached sermons on this before, but let me share it with you. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Before time, God was God. And when time is no more, he will still be God. The problems, the challenges, the issues that we face in our life, and we all do, when we put that in perspective to who God is, it puts our lives in perspective. There is no mountain that is bigger than God. There is no river that must be crossed that's wider than God. God was here before all of that because he created all of that. And he's going to be here after that. And the point is that he's here now for you. If you're facing a challenge, a difficulty, a setback, a loss of a loved one, loss of money, wealth, whatever, it matters, but God is bigger than that, and God is our refuge. We live in God as Christians. There is nothing that's bigger than God. And we can realize that. We don't need an eclipse to realize that. As Christians, we wake up every morning to the truth that this is the day that the Lord has made, because he made everything. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we'll get through the problems and the difficulties and the challenges that we face if we walk in our lives with God in our heart. Well, evidence for helping children to change their gender, including social transitioning and hormone blockers, is taking another hit today. Thank the Lord. I haven't mentioned it. If I did, it was just in passing on this program, but I've been following it in the UK. There's been a report that they've been anticipating. They've been talking about the fact that it's coming soon and so on. I think it's like almost a 400-page report. It's an in-depth survey, a study, medical study, and it's about transgenderism. And so I think the news media, especially European news, but American news as well, I think they kind of thought that it might be favorable toward this because they've been sort of teasing it and saying it's coming soon. Well, they're going to be releasing this, you know, before long. We'll have details, blah, blah, blah. Well, they released it yesterday afternoon in Europe. It's called the CAS report. And that's named after the Dr. Hilary Cass, who led in the survey. And it is not influenced by any conservatives or certainly not Christians. But Dr. Hilary Cass and her whole group of people who did this 400-page report came out and said, and all of a sudden the media got quiet like birds do when the sun goes down, you know. But what was said is this long-anticipated CAS report, it's been taxpayer-funded NHS in Europe. The children who believe they are trans has been published and calls for major change, saying hormone drugs should no longer be given to anyone under 18 years old. The basis of treatments given by the NHS has been based on practices with little to no developmental rigor or transparency. Fundamentally, Dr. Cass says, when little development or when conducting the review, I have found in gender medicine, these pillars are built on very shaky foundations. And like I said, there's 400 pages. We promise don't turn off your radio. We're not going to go through all that today. But only to say that as the more people turn the light on things like this, that's destroying so many kids, the more, when we see the truth, it always leads us back not only to the truth, certainly, but to common sense. Because the truth is based on common sense. Common sense is based on the truth, perhaps. And when we just allow ourselves to just see or hear the truth, it does set us free. And of course, Jesus himself is the truth. Well, I'll tell you, if only we would turn our hearts back to God in this country, how great that would be. Oh, I'm not talking about a theocracy. I've been accused of that for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, more, 40 years. I'm over 40. All those years, I've been accused of advocating for a theocracy. I don't want a theocracy. That's what Iran has. I just want a nation that recognizes God and a press that doesn't always undermine everything and everybody that has anything to do with a relationship with Almighty God. And if you don't want to serve God, fine. You'll have the benefits of living in a country that's very blessed and free, as they have done since 1776 until most recently. Preventing illegal immigrants from voting has become an issue. according to a majority of voters who agree with Elon Musk. Now, I'm not advocating for Elon Musk, but Democrats are encouraging immigration as part of a plan to gain a permanent majority. A lot of people are thinking that now. Elon Musk came out and said that, and they turned on him like a wolf on a lamb. Latest Rasmussen reports was a survey that they just published this week. I think it was Monday or yesterday afternoon. It finds that 78% of likely U.S. voters believe it's important to prevent illegal immigrants from voting in American elections. And, of course, the left immediately when this came out, I was hearing it yesterday, they said, they can't vote. Don't worry about it. Just forget about it. Don't talk about it. They can't vote. Well, they're not supposed to vote. We don't know if they are or not. But is there something here? Most Americans think that there's something going on with this. 78% of voters believe it's important to prevent illegal immigrants from voting in American elections, including 62% who consider it very important. Only 17% disagree. And these findings are pretty much the same as they were last September on the same issue. There's a growing problem in America. There are a lot of them, but there's one that's political, but it has spiritual roots to it. And I think all political issues have a spiritual solution. But let me talk about this. It's a little nuanced. Stay with me on it. And I want to tell you what's going on, because you're going to hear this presented in the news media from different angles. But Breitbart News, let me start with them. They're conservative, very conservative. They're a great news organization. They're well-funded and they do well and so on. But Breitbart News said yesterday, quote, "Growing anti-Biden uncommitted movement threatens president's re-election chances, reveals Democrats' rift with young voters." Yesterday, I wrote in our article on faithandfreedom.us, our website, and I talked about it on the radio. In fact, I missed my sign-off time yesterday because this program it starts live. And it's initiated live at 9 o'clock. And so I missed my cutoff. And some of you heard that. Some of you didn't, because they got it fixed later on. They did a little editing on me. I had so much to say, and I wasn't watching the clock like I was supposed to. But anyway, yesterday I wrote about it, and I talked about it on the radio program, that the threat that's being put forward by the large Islamic community in America, that if President Biden doesn't do what the Muslims are demanding that he do, they will not vote, or they will vote uncommitted. They won't vote for him, but they'll vote uncommitted in the upcoming election, and that would be the primary election. So I'll get to the general election in a few minutes. But they say, and people are saying now, and the press are a little concerned about it, they're saying that that could cost him the election. Now, there's a similar movement that's emerged that are not Muslim necessarily, but it's not based on their belief, their faith. It's based just on their ideology, and that's a group of young people in the country, just out of college or in college age, that group of people. So they reported that the growing uncommitted vote movement, which has caught fire in Democratic, Breitbart, in Democratic presidential nominating contests, led to reportedly 500,000, half a million votes, being cast nationally against President Joe Biden. It's becoming a significant liability threatening his reelection prospects. I don't know if it's that bad yet, but it's certainly headed in that direction. They think it is. They continued. They said frustration with Biden, it's his administration handling of Israel's response to Hamas's October terrorist attacks is mainly driving the uncommitted movement, and it's turned into a movement. Polling data reveals that there are substantial generational differences among American voters regarding the Israel-Hamas war and attitudes towards Palestinians and Israelis. Biden's uncommitted problem is not just with Arab American and Muslim American voters, but with young voters in general who are critical and they're a critical component to the Democrat Party's coalition. They have always claimed that the youth were with them. And youth, after a generation or two of sitting through from kindergarten through university, sitting in classrooms that are pretty much indoctrination centers, not education centers, and that's, we're beginning to see the result of that. So, yes, these people, our children, are coming out of these institutions, and they are ideologically, for us Christians, often diametrically opposed to the faith in which we raise them in our homes. So this is developing. And if you didn't hear yesterday's program or read the article that I wrote on faithandfreedom.us, I would encourage you to do that because there's a lot in it and I'm not going to repeat it. But there's also a podcast now up of yesterday's program, if you didn't hear it, on our website. You go on the front page when it comes up, and over on the right-hand side, you'll see five programs there of this program. And each day that the podcast of the program is put up a little bit later in the day, I'm not sure exactly which time. So there are always the last five programs are up there, and you can see it. You can also listen on KTW in Spokane to all of our programs run simultaneously every Saturday, and from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So I would encourage you to listen to that if you didn't catch that yesterday, because it's going to become a major, major point of discussion in the coming months. Biden has complied. Thousands of Muslims at Dearborn, Michigan demanded that he make Israel cease fire and get out of Gaza. And he did. He put pressure on him. Now, Netanyahu is saying, as lately as this morning, he's saying, we have a date and we're going to attack Rafah. Biden said, if you attack Rafah, we will cut off our aid and the things that we're giving to Israel. That is unprecedented for the United States to do something like that to Israel. But Netanyahu has come out and announced they're going to do it anyway, because if they don't eradicate the terrorists, Hamas, in Gaza, they're going to reform and they're going to come right back and kill more Israelis. And that's exactly right, because they're saying they're going to. They've repeatedly said, we will survive this and we will come back and we will kill more Jews. I mean, that's what they've said. And they mean it. And they probably will. Speakers at the rally, this rally that took place in Dearborn, they were mostly a Muslim crowd. But America, they said, America is one of the rottenest countries on earth. Israel is ISIS, Nazis, a cancer. For the most part, the media in America didn't even cover those remarks that were made just a few days ago, or the fact that President Biden did what he was told to do by these Muslim activists. They are couching this story, and they're going to continue to do so very differently. They forced Israel to a ceasefire and not completing their mission, thinking that Israel, this thing would just dry up and Israel would go on as usual and not complete their mission to try to wipe out terrorism in Gaza. But that's not happening, according to what Netanyahu was saying yesterday and this morning. He says he's going to go on anyway. Back in February, the New York Times did publish an op-ed that was titled Arab American Fury Toward Biden. That's when this Muslim thing began against Biden. Now it's, and they were saying, we won't vote for you in the primaries. And they didn't. As I said, thousands and thousands and thousands of them didn't do it. And they're now saying, and I'll come back to that in a moment, they're now saying if they don't get what they want from Biden, they're not going to vote for him in the general election. They're saying, one guy said, I will stomach Donald Trump for 4 years before I will vote for Joe Biden. And he was a leader in the Muslim community. Biden has this problem also with America's youth, as I said. Breitbart noted in their story that the uncommitted movement, gained much more steam than expected at its inception. It's now being called, it has a name, this movement. It's called Listen to Michigan. Listen to Michigan means it's an echo and a reflection of what is happening in Michigan with the Muslim group. And they dominate those areas. Dearborn is, I mean, you might as well be in Iraq or something, or Iran or wherever. There, I mean, not everybody's Muslim, but it feels like that, I'm told. But the vote total for uncommitted, there was a goal there in that, just in Dearborn, to reach 90,000 votes, or in the state, in Michigan. It spread like wildfire to other states, especially in the Rust Belt, which had a major hand in deciding the last two elections. It did. Now the Nations, it's a news organization, John Nichols, he's reporting that upwards of 500,000 Democratic primary voters have protested Biden with their ballots. According to Nichols, the movement now has delegates, at least 25 of them, and continues to organize in late primary and caucus states. The campaign has won enough votes to secure the Democratic National Convention delegates from Minnesota, 14, Hawaii, 7, Michigan, 2, and according to local news reports, Washington, 2. So says Nichols, writing in The Nation. The label varies from state to state, uncommitted in Michigan and Minnesota, uninstructed in Wisconsin, so on. They have different names for these, what they're doing, but the sentiment remains the same. The self-described multiracial, multi-faith, anti-war campaign continues. They call it, as I said, Listen to Michigan. It's a group of Democrats in Michigan. It's a group of Muslims that have one thing, perhaps, maybe more, but at least one thing in common, and that is to force Joe Biden, the President of the United States, to do what they want him to do in regards to our relationship with Israel. So, February 27th, the primary was to send a message to Biden, and they are continuing to organize across the nation. As a matter of fact, the group is led by Representative Rashida Tlaib. She's a Democrat from Michigan. Her younger sister, Lila Elabed, I think that's how she pronounces her last name. She is the community organizer that's running this thing behind the scenes with the help, of course, of her sister, Rashida Tlaib, who is in Congress. Listen to Michigan. This campaign started. It's spearheaded by predominantly younger Arab and Muslim organizers. NPR, they jumped in and they're writing about it now. They said the uncommitted turnout was tenfold compared to the goal, as 101,413 Michigan Democrats, 13.2% of the primary voters, cast ballots for uncommitted. Breitbart says Biden won Michigan in 2020 by 154,188 votes. Losing more than 100,000 votes would put Biden in a very dangerous territory. They continue. Furthermore, the 101,430 uncommitted votes came in the primary, not the general election, where voters would likely be even more motivated to stick it to Biden and not show up for him in this deep-seated animosity if it persists. These are perilous and confusing times, and this whole thing can be a little confusing because it depends on how the news presents it. But there is definitely turmoil, and there is a reaction. It's not a move toward conservatism. It's not a move toward Christianity. There is a real move and a revival that's happening on college and university campuses. It continues to this moment. There are kids on university campuses right now praying and having worship time. And around the clock, 24/7, just like they were a year and a half ago when I first started talking about this in Auburn University or in that area. And it's continuing to happen. Before the Michigan primary, the New York Times columnist says Charles Blow, he caught up with the Arab American, the Muslim leaders in Michigan, a visit that gave eye-opening context to how deep feelings of betrayal runs in the voters who helped to put 81-year-old cognitively just fine Joe Biden in office. Council for American Islamic Relations, CARE, Michigan's executive director, this Walid, said that for most Muslims, anything short of Biden resurrecting 29,000 dead Palestinians like Jesus, this is a Muslim, like Jesus, would mean that they will never vote for him again. Young people on campuses across the country are joining the campaign, Listen to Michigan, against Biden. They are not voting for Trump or any other Republican. They're voting against Joe Biden. This is a focused effort. It shows what you can do. I'm certainly not condoning it, but it shows what you can do if you do it together. It gives even a reflection of what Christians can do if we will simply come together around our common beliefs. We can make a difference in this country. The Muslims are doing this, and now they've enveloped the college-age group. I mean, thousands of them are a part of this, and they're organizing this thing all across the country. You're going to be hearing a lot about it. The press is just waiting like a lion to pounce on this and use it and turn it and invert it to be something that they can use to further the progressive movement, when in fact, this is a reaction by Muslims and a reaction by young people against it. The issue for Biden on this lingers beyond the non-Arab American and Muslim voters to especially our young American voters. Nobody believes. Biden tried to explain the other day. He said, well, the Palestinian Americans are not against me. He said, it's just the ones who have relatives in Gaza. And immediately they just blasted him for saying that because they said, that's not true. It's a lie. The Muslims and the radical left among our youth have turned against Biden so strongly that some admit they will stomach Trump before they will vote for Biden. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But remember today that God is in control. He was here before creation, and he'll be here after time. Thanks for being with me today. I'll see you tomorrow.